This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf,
and Joe Fit.
Hey,
welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast.
Oh, you're so by the book on your intros, Matthew. Well, hey, we're back, right?
We're back.
We're in the house. Yeah, we're actually in a house together.
We are. And this is the first time we've done this in a while, where it's just me and you riffing on what we've been up to, what we're looking at, what's interesting to us, what's exciting us right now. We haven't done one of these in a while, right? We've had a lot of guests lately, and we thought, you know what? Let's just have a you and me, bro to bro, chatty chat.
Chatty chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have these chatty chats often, Matt, so I don't know if you have amnesia and forgot about those, but we just don't record them all that look like we're in this. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, if you're fortunate to see this part of this video, if this makes the light of day, we're in this trippy like lava lamp looking place, but then also we have green screens behind us. I mean, wait, we're actually there.
We're in the city.
We're in the city, yes. So this is all reality. Totally. We've made a new metaverse of sorts for ourselves at Hard Fork and Hustle and Flowchart. So it's cool. You should go. And that's like a shameless plug for our YouTube channel. Go check us out on YouTube. Where do they find us, Matt? Is there a short link?
For YouTube, hustleandflowchart.tv.
That's right. Same link.
Same link. It's been for a while now.
Yeah. Just go hit that sub button. Subscribe.
And like every video. Go through the whole channel and press like on every single video.
We'd appreciate that. We do not expect that, but you know, it'd be awesome for us.
We just got monetized. You're putting money in our pockets.
Ah, yeah, that is. All right. So in this show, yeah, we just thought it'd be good to catch up, you and I, mano y mano, and chat about what the heck the last like handful of months have looked like for us.
Yes.
We're in a new studio location. We do not have the desk in front of us, but now we have actually two desks that are like face to face, but with big monitors around us. We can't actually see each other.
No, we can't. There's monitors in front of us, but he's like right there. If I threw something, you'd see it like come into his screen and him in the face.
So there should be a Twitter poll. Someone should post something. What should Joe throw at Matt randomly during the next podcast interview that we do together?
But we do have this kind of like cool battle station.
I'll do it.
We're in our new studio here with Uncle Buffalo, who is downstairs right now doing some sort of work.
We are holed up and we are running. Well, that's why it's like a perfect catch-up time. We're like, why not flip on the mic, actually hit the record button, because we don't do that often enough sometimes. And let's just chat what the heck we've been doing. So Matt, what the heck we've been doing? And hold on. We actually have some other cool stuff, because we have different people we've been collabing with, a lot of collaborations, partnerships that we've been forming, and you'll see it come through in our content, with our emails, with our tweets, with all this cool stuff. So make sure, I'm going to do another shameless plug because I'm feeling frisky. Go to hardfork.gg/whitelist. Hardfork.gg/whitelist will get you on the email list, so you get the alpha and airdrops and all that fun stuff. And actually, because you'll see some of these partners that we've been working with on that that email list, the hardfork.gg/whitelist. And we're actually going to talk about some of them in this podcast a little later on. And I actually found an airdrop opportunity for y'all.
Ooh, alpha here?
We got some alpha, and Kokomo Matt doesn't even know about it. That's right, Kokomo Joe here with the alpha. And it's going to be fun. This little chat, I think it's going to start with us just kind of jamming for a bit. But then also we got a few partners we want to kind of show you who's building some fun stuff in the Web3 gaming space, who is, we think, going to rise above most in this space, and especially after the craziness that's happening in the markets right now. My hand was doing that because like crashing down.
Yeah, things have gone down happening in the markets right now. But yeah, I mean, we've kind of built the, so what we've been up to lately is, the reason we're in this studio, the reason we're talking about it, is we've been building essentially a content machine, right? Like, this is our content factory here. We've got green screens behind us right now. We've got multiple monitors, and we both have our own individual mixing boards and switching boards, so I can throw crazy stuff on the screen. Like, hey, look, there's two Joes. Look, there's two Matts. I could do stuff like that now. And we're just building out this content machine to crank out tons of content in the gaming space. We've really, really focused in on gaming, blockchain gaming, and traditional gaming. We've really just kind of thrown ourselves into that gaming world. And so that's what we've been focused on, is building the content machine for that, so that we can go and sell whatever exposure we build there to sponsors, right? And we kind of had this, I don't want to say vision board, it's more of a whiteboard that we wrote with, you know, on with black marker.
There's but like
we,
five whiteboards of this.
But we probably had, basically, when we started, right, there was three companies that, when we started this company, we're like, if we can get tied in with this company, and this company, we freaking made it, right? Mm-hmm. And in the last 5 months, we've managed to work with all of those companies in some way or another. So
it's been cool. Yeah, no, it's been really fun, because those are the ones we're going to highlight at the end of the, or towards, after we get to riffing a little bit. with the latest, because there's a lot of stuff we want to share with you that we've been seeing. There's a lot of timely stuff that's been happening in the markets that we have perspectives on. And we've just, I mean, we're immersed in this, you know. Matt and I, we took the dive like at the end of last year, 2021. And it's cool when you come across someone like Brad Costanzo, our buddy who's been on the podcast. You know, he got married to crypto or whatever the heck, he committed all the way. And it's cool because he was saying there's like all these opportunities have kind of dominoed right after committing to it. And that's exactly what we've experienced with Hard Fork and Hard Fork Gaming. And that's where, coming from the marketing, content marketing, Matt, you with website building and blogging, me with a lot more video based stuff and client work. And yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting because now we've like created a media company with Randy, who also comes from production and similar spaces, a lot of the same friends. We've learned a lot, but we've connected with, like, we have a whole new network already built in, like you said, 5 months. And it's not like we've gone to the top, I feel like, and the most powerful players, I would say, the ones that might even be sleepers, I would say. A lot of people don't even know of some of these folks. Like, I'm saying, like, in gaming, you probably do, but, like, if you're in crypto or even outside of crypto as an investor looking in, and seeing, holy crap, like the markets are all down, but I got some money on the side. I want to buy something on sale right now. Like, these are the things that Matt and I are looking at, because there's so many opportunities, but they're not all going to last.
Yeah,
is what we see.
And I think the thing as well that's like so exciting about what we're doing too is, you know, we're working with these various partners and we're doing all this stuff, but every day feels like play, right? Like every single day we're coming into the studio here and it just feels like we're having fun, right? Yesterday, yeah, we spent like a good chunk of the day playing around with Unreal Engine so we could learn a little bit more about how, like,
the
gaming stuff is developed and like where the gaming technology is going. And like, we feel like we could build a game. I'm not saying we're getting into building games. Like, that's
a
rabbit hole that's years in the future, probably.
We will.
Who was that?
We will.
Who was that?
I don't know who that was. That was maybe Joe in the future in game form.
There you go.
I'm coming.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, it's just like every day is a blast here. We're here, you know, we get to play Eve.io or whatever, however they pronounce Eve. It. We've played a bunch of meta ops together. We've, you know, we're coming in here. We've played NES games and figured out how to get emulators set up where we can both be at different computers and play video games against each other.
We've
just like totally dove into the space. Like, and when I say like gaming too, we're not talking just crypto gaming. We've literally immersed ourselves in the world of just gaming. And I think that's just, it's like I don't know, this sounds super cheesy, but I'm just gonna say it's like my childhood dream is like what we're doing now.
Aww.
You know, like,
wow. I'm getting oh wow. I did not know you had that.
I did. All right.
I have zero of those, so don't expect anything from me except for Future Joe. All right, moving on.
Future Joe apparently got a lot deeper voice.
I'm like gigantic. This is like Metaverse
Unreal Engine 5.
Joe. All right. So, all right, carry on. You like that, huh?
When I was a kid, like, I was really, really into video games, right? Like, when Ocarina of Time came out, like, I bench
Zelda?
Played it. Yeah. I bench played that one until I beat it. When Half-Life 2 came out, that was like one of my favorite games at the time. And like, I've played video games like my whole life. And like, as a kid, I heard about like E3 and I used to see like, you know, pictures and videos and read about it in like, you know, PC Mag or whatever, or IGN or those types of places. And I was always like, dude, one day to be a company that like can be at E3, that would blow my mind. And here we are, we have Hard Fork Gaming. It's like a content media company where we spend our time talking to the people creating in the gaming space and also spending time freaking playing games. Like, what world are we living in right now? Like,
it's crazy. It's cool, man. And it's, I don't know, it's a space that, I mean, right now a lot of folks are probably seeing from the outside in that, holy crap, how can you be in that space with so much money being lost? They're seeing all the headlines in the news right now because, you know, things like around Terra and stable coins, people are going to start questioning things. There's a lot of fear, the fear and greed index. I mean, it's like super fearful, obviously. And then you compound it with everything else in the world going on. So I think the gaming space is small, but we're all taking risk and we're believing that there's something here where, like, it's interesting because, like, I'm talking like this, being someone who didn't know much about, you know, like how a lot of the inner workings of games worked, but understood and have been in crypto, but like that mashing and molding of like how it works, but then also an interest in economics and how like currencies are working and in how inflation works. And it's extremely timely because that's what all we hear on the news now. And not like we're watching the news. I hope not. But you know, like you hear that word thrown around, but then you wonder like what the hell does that mean? I bet most people have no clue. But then you go jump into Web3 and you study tokenomics and you're like, holy crap, this is like a whole science that is being figured out in the gaming space in real time, is like figuring out how to create an economy in each game. And sometimes there's like layers of economies that like are probably more complex than your freaking local government or your state in some game. Like, I don't know, I'm assuming, but dear God, like they're like creating something out of nothing and they're iterating off of all the ones that have come before. So I think like those of us who are brave as hell right now to take the leap in like the bloodiest, one of the bloodiest times in crypto, and then like continue on, that's where I see us going with Hardfork Gaming as being the people who are partnered with the players in the industries and the ones that are going to keep building the foundation and all those freaking iterative things that people can, you know, one day actually have good community, you know, economies that are sustainable with a, you know, crap ton of adoption. Because right now it's just like, it's tiny. And a lot of the stuff, you know, economies just tank. The tokenomics, when you start to understand it, and you're like, yeah, it's because it's fucking hard. Because it's like, dude, you're not a, you know, I doubt most people have ever managed the equivalent of like a country worth of currency and value and tokens and whatever. You, I mean, look at Terra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
like, tell me about Terra, Matt, actually.
This is the week, the week we're recording this is the week that Terra crashed, which, you know, if I'm honest, I think there are pros and cons. You got to look at the silver lining of everything, right? So I'm not the best at explaining this kind of stuff, but basically you had two tokens. You had the UST token, which was the stable coin. It was supposed to be pegged to the dollar, so always kind of worth about a dollar. And then you had the Luna token, which was kind of the governance token, I guess you could call it, of UST. And there was this mechanism where if you had UST, you can basically burn UST and get a similar, and basically get the equivalent amount in Luna, or you can burn your Luna and get the equivalent amount in UST. And by doing that, you constantly offset and kept the peg stable, right? And basically, this is sort of the prevailing theory right now. I don't know if this has been confirmed or not, but the prevailing theory is that a big hedge fund basically came in, manipulated the markets, caused this UST token to crash, which also caused the Luna token to crash. And all these people that had their money in what was supposed to be a stable coin pegged to the dollar in a, you know, a savings account, essentially, the value of their dollar just went basically to nothing in like a 2-day period or 3-day period. And it just totally crashed, and billions and billions and billions of dollars were lost by people. And it was a tough few days for a lot of people. Like it crushed a lot of people financially, because a lot of people believed in it. It was considered one of the more stable tokens. It was in the, I don't remember if it was in the top 10 market cap, but it was definitely within the top 15.
I think it was top 10, or at least, right around. Yeah.
So a lot of people had money in this and just lost everything. Dude. And so that, in the obvious negative of it, is it probably set back people's confidence in crypto and blockchain by like a year or two, right? Like, people are going to be citing what happened with Luna and Terra for years to come, just like they still talk about the Mt. Gox incident, which we won't get into today, but it was a big thing where a bunch of money disappeared. You know, they're going to be talking about this like they talk about that. And that's going to really, really have some setbacks on like retail confidence of getting into crypto, right? And that part really, really sucks. Now, on the flip side of it, if we're looking at the silver lining of this a little bit, you know, it was going to happen eventually, right? You know, it sucks that it didn't happen at like a much, much, much lower level, right? But this kind of stuff needs to happen for the market, for the technology to improve, right? You wish it would happen at a much, much, much earlier phase when there's not this much money pumped into it. But this kind of thing almost needs to happen for the market to step back, reset, and go, okay, we screwed up in a lot of areas. How do we fix this so this doesn't happen again? Right. And I think that's where some of the silver lining comes in, is this is a wake up call for a lot of people, a lot of companies, a lot of investors to go, okay, I'm never going to approach things the way I approached it last time because of what happened there. And from like a security standpoint, just a smart investing standpoint, anybody that had like all their eggs in that basket got screwed, right? So those people are going to know from here on out, you need to be diversified. Like, those lessons are going to be learned on a grand freaking scale right now. And it sucks that it had to go down this way, but that's kind of the silver lining that's there.
Yeah, no, it is. And there's so many layers to this that are, like you said, you know, it was bound to happen. And it's just like the games that are figuring out economies right now that a lot of them have taken the hit. Some can't recover from this. You know, like, a lot of them have seen maybe great adoption of some of these games, but they can't keep the value of their currencies, their tokens, in a good spot where it makes sense. It's just like super inflated. Obviously, this is a different thing, but the whole idea, again, it's like iterating.
I think we do. I want to root for an algorithmic stablecoin, right? A stablecoin that's not necessarily pegged completely to the US dollar, right? I don't remember all the terminologies, but there's like pegged and there's another term that they use that's not the same as pegged, but it's similar.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it is, but when you have the algorithmic stablecoin, over time, it's, you can create a system where the US dollar isn't like the world currency that everybody, you know, values their currencies against, right? If you have that algorithmic stablecoin, you can over time start to separate from that a little bit.
Yeah. And so it says there's four types of stablecoins: fiat backed, crypto backed, commodity backed, and algorithmic. Mm-hmm. So those are the four that we're seeing here.
And I wouldn't be able to explain to you the difference between all four. I
mean, yeah, we don't need to go on all those there now.
Yeah,
but
it's just kind of getting way.
Well, this is. Yeah, well, this is another thing. It just raises a question. I mean, like, to your point, there's a lot of fear. It takes a step back for a lot of folks on the onboarding because of that fear and people figuring out what the hell is going to go on. Like, a lot of people's got wiped out from Terra, or at least, like, substantially hit. So that sucks, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, like, I remember getting wiped out, but via a hacker back in 2017. And obviously, that was, like, some crazy times, too. In the ICO days, and a couple grand got stolen, and I didn't really, it left like such a bitter taste in my mouth until a couple years later, and that's why I was just like, man, that sucked, because I hated that feeling, that bitterness, and I bet like a lot of that's here, and who knows what the story is as it's developing. I found an article here which is crazy, but says that Luna's founder's wife is under emergency protection after that. Crypto market death spiral plunges coin to $0. Yeah. And yeah, that someone actually like went to their apartment, rang their doorbell, asked them, like, this is nuts, man. Like, doesn't surprise me. I didn't read this whole thing, but yeah, worried that it's triggering a Lehman's moment for the market.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary. It is a scary moment to be, kind of the person behind it. Because, I mean, right. I don't think there was, obviously, this wasn't built with any sort of like ill intentions. This wasn't somebody out there to screw somebody, but. You know, it's just so like unfortunate that it happened, but there is this sort of element, and I'm not saying that this justifies it or changes anything, but this guy Do Kwon, who's the guy behind Terra, he's been pretty dang cocky on Twitter about the stability of this platform that he built. People poor who don't agree with him.
He's I'm just kind of pulling him up here. Yeah, he's an interesting one to look at, and honestly, I was. Wasn't a couple of weeks ago, I was going to reach out and actually like see if he could be on the podcast, and still be interesting. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously got much more important things to do and worry about, but it's just crazy. So I would check out Do Kwon, because like, actually, he just tweeted 31 Ooh, minutes
what
ago.
What does it say?
All right, so Do Kwon. So this was posted, whatever today is, the 13th at around 3:47-ish. I've spent the last few days on the phone calling Terra community members, the builders, community members, employees, friends, and family, and have been devastated by UST depegging. I am heartbroken about the pain my invention has brought on all of you. I still believe that decentralized economies deserve decentralized money, but it is clear that UST in its current form will not be that money. Neither I nor any institution that I am affiliated with profited in any way from this incident. I sold no Luna nor UST during the crisis. We are currently working on documenting the issue of the LFGBTC. That's not Let's
That's
Fork
Luna
and Go, by the way.
Foundation Guard, I think. Yeah.
Luna, very, very good. Not Let's Fork and Go.
Yeah.
Reserves during the depegging event. Please be patient with us as our teams are juggling multiple tasks at the same time. There are multiple proposals on Agora on the best steps to move forward for the community. After having read many of them, I've put down my thoughts on what I think are the best steps. And there's a link there. What we should look at to preserve now is the community and developers to make Terra's block space valuable. I'm sure our community will form consensus around best path forward for itself and find a way to rise again.
I thought I read something earlier today that said that he was going to try to like basically start Luna over, but it almost like that tweet to me almost sounds like he's saying Luna is done. But I actually haven't obviously clicked on any of the links and read any more into it. So
yeah,
I don't know yet.
We could take a peek here really fast. Yeah, we don't need to go too much further, but it looks like there is a proposal here on Terra. That's a Terra ecosystem revival plan. So it looks like he posted 6 hours ago. I won't read this whole thing, but people can call and click. I saw a call to action on here. So essentially it looks like, the rallying cry for the Terra community has always been a decentralized economy needs decentralized money. This is an exciting vision. It's not always been successful. Okay, priority now is basically preserving the ecosystem and the people involved. So It looks like it, this is early days. Oh, well, actually, I'm not in that network, so what am I going to do? But yeah, so.
You know what's interesting? I was reading something earlier that was actually saying that, to be honest, I don't know how much of this actually happened, but I was reading a thing that was talking about how, like, this is one of the problems with trying to create a lot of decentralization is that everything needs to be done through, you know, governance and consensus and and people agreeing on something, right? So when a chain, there's a major crisis on the chain where it's just devaluing really, 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 really quickly. Well, in a true DAO, a true decentralized organization, well, what happens when there's a crisis? Well, you need shit to happen fast, right? If you're in a corporation and there's a CEO, the CEO says, you know, do this, let's get it done. Crisis management, do it fast, right? When you have like a decentralized organization, you got to basically go to a vote, and then the vote has to take a certain amount of time to give enough people the opportunity to vote on it. And then once the vote is made, then you can move. And if stuff is happening today, right now, and if you don't change things right now, you know, what do you do? You either have to have a centralized person make a decision on what to do now, or you have a decentralized group who all has to vote, which is time consuming, which by the time the vote is over could have crushed the whole opportunity. You know?
True. Yeah. It's like they need a, there needs to be like emergency plans where it can be quick acted. And this might be the case for DAOs. When something like this is going down, it's like, yeah, you can't wait for a while for something to go and form this whole, I mean, honestly, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to all the governance stuff, because this is super complex. And it looks like this is so fresh that, at least at the time of this recording.
And I don't actually know if that's what happened with Terra. I don't know if, you know, Do Kwon tried to just do something on his own and failed, or if it did go to a vote, but the vote didn't happen fast enough for anything to move. You know, I don't know if that's actually what happened. That's just one of the arguments against having these decentralized organizations, is how do you act fast if everything needs to go to a vote, you know?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I think that's... So the Terra thing, it's going to be interesting to see how it unravels, to say the least, because there's a lot...
I'd say it's pretty unraveled, but it'll be interesting to see where they try to take it from here, you know?
Well, they are unraveled, but the story and all the different... Yeah, like the layers of what you talked about, like different hedge funds involved. Like, there's a lot of stuff here. Lehman moment, like, you know, there's layers. There's people endangered now even. You know, it's like... It's kind of wacky. There's a lot of stuff happening in crypto all at the same time, you know, with everything else too. So it's wild, man. Yeah. I don't know. Wild times, but...
It's crazy. I mean,
where's it going to go?
Honestly, though, this is the time where, you know, we were talking about this the other day. This is the time where if you've got a lot of conviction towards a project, like, you know, the people behind the project and, you know, like, all right, these guys are going to pull something out with this. Mm. Or if there's a project, you know, if you know there's a platform that you really, really like, right? Like for us, for instance, we find ourselves doing a lot on Solana lately. A lot of the NFT games we're playing, a lot of the people we're dealing with, they're doing stuff on Solana. So we find ourselves using Solana a lot. We like using Solana. So right now, when Solana is really, really, really inexpensive compared to where it was a few months ago, now is the time to be buying that kind of stuff, right? Avalanche was up over $100 several months ago. Now you can get it for like $30. Mm-hmm. Polygon's gotten up to almost $3, I think. Now you can get it for 75 cents, right? These are all platforms that we've found ourselves using a lot. We know they work. We've played with them ourselves. And if we have faith that these platforms are going to be around for a little bit, they're really cheap right now.
Yeah, Solana is the blockchain that we're at least the most excited about on Tim's at the gaming front right now. There's a lot of cool stuff on BNB starting to roll out. Chatting with some games over there. Cyball is on there. Been chatting with the folks over there. Everything's cheap right now. I mean, it sucks for obviously investors and the owners of the projects and a lot of the gamers involved who, you know, just maybe don't have the education or understand what the hell is going on. Mm-hmm. And that's where I hope this can help, you know, these chats sometimes. And like, if you're thinking of as yourself, like a first time investor, if you've been curious, if you've been listening to us or watching us or anyone else out there and seeing all the, you know, you're just learning, because it takes a while to get like kind of flip that switch. But once that's flipped, you start to see opportunities and see how things are linked up, like blockchains to games, to different investors. Companies, like, they're scouting the same thing we're all trying to do, so you can kind of know who the players are. You can know who the launch pads are, you know, and in the some of the games and partners to look at. So that's what we'll talk about maybe in a minute here. Perfect segue, right? But the idea is like there's just so much coming in this, but I feel like when it's cheap, the prices are cheap. Like, as a new investor and someone learning about this space, like, not financial advice, but holy moly, like, This is a time that's very interesting. I'll just say that there's a lot of opportunities.
I hate the whole Terra thing. I hate that so many people got wrecked. I hate all of that. But there is something that excites me right now about how low the market is. right? And I don't think it's done going down yet. I think we're going to be kind of trading sideways and maybe down a little bit for a few months. But it excites me that it's getting cheaper because, you know, we've been messing with crypto for several years now, but, you know, almost full time for the last, 6 months or so, right? Over the last 6 months, there's been a lot of tokens where I'm like, man, I want to get in on that one, but it feels so expensive right now. I really like what they're doing. I really like what they're trying to build, but it feels overpriced right now. And a lot of those tokens, I'm kind of seeing, you know what? Now it feels a little bit more like it's in line with what I kind of want to pay for it, you know?
Yeah. And especially if you're positioned to invest into this, and, you know, obviously we are not investing advisors. We are not equipped to do that. We just learned a lot, and we're just spotting some alpha, spotting some news that you can do whatever you want with, but providing some education and understanding around it all too. So yeah, let's get into some of these partners and people we've been chatting with, and we want to share. Some of them have been shared with you already. Actually, someone from each one of the partners have been shared on the podcast.
That is true.
Pop, pop, pop. All three.
Actually, one of them, we've had two people from.
That's true as well. And more from all, I think. we'll see. True. So, I mean, I'll just start. If you're paying attention, you probably know who these folks are, especially in the gaming space. But, you know, they're making headlines. They're raising money, even in times where money is hard to raise traditionally. Yeah. You know, so one of the partners, we'll walk you through who we think are the ones that have been kind of the sleepers, maybe for a lot of folks, like broader audiences and folks that are not in crypto. So these are, we think, the three companies, especially in the gaming space, the blockchain gaming space, Web3 gaming space, whatever title you want to give it. These are the ones that we feel most confident in, not only writing out whatever the market's doing right now, but in, you know, 5-10 years from now and beyond, they have laid the tracks for blockchain gaming and have done it in like all these different ways. Like Matt, you actually said it, all these partners approach it from different prongs, different ways.
Yeah, so we'll kind of break down what sort of each one does, but the first partner, and this, it's funny because we sat down and we picked the three partners that, like, when we want to build this company, we whiteboard out three specific companies, and this was the very first one on the list, Animoca Brands, right? Animoca Brands is the 1,000-pound gorilla. Is that the way they say it? Is that the saying?
I'm going to go, it's better than 100-pound gorilla that you were saying earlier. I'm like, oh, that little tiny, cute gorilla over there. Okay,
1,000-pound gorilla in the space where they're investing in like every blockchain game that's coming out, every guild that's coming out. They're the investors that are basically supporting the growth of blockchain gaming right now. They're going out and finding all these games and they're putting money into them and bringing them over onto the blockchain. And it's they're just doing really, really exciting stuff. And they're you know, they're putting smart money into cool gaming companies.
They are. And they're doing it. I think they have over 200 something investments. I think there's a lot more actually, because we've had Rich Robinson, who is who works as an advisor over there, Animoca Brands. And also Sean Dudley, who works at Rev.
He's and the head of a product over at Animoca and VP. Also VP of product,
Yep. So so if you haven't listened to that or watched the video, brilliant, both of the guys, brilliant men from totally different like kind of backgrounds and thinking. And they're just bringing a cool perspective into what the next thing's going to look like in blockchain. But I want to just read their vision really fast. It's to deliver digital property rights to the world's gamers and internet users, thereby creating a new asset class, play-to-earn economies, in a more equitable digital framework, contributing to the building of the open metaverse. So, I mean, it's all about digital property rights, essentially. And this guy, Yacht Sue, is one we hope to have on the podcast shortly. We definitely want to chat with him because he's fascinating. He's been called, actually, Mr. Metaverse is what I just saw. You can check him out. This go follow him on Twitter and stuff. But yeah, I just found this article today. It is Hong Kong's Mr. Metaverse on why he's placing a big Web3 bet against Mark Zuckerberg. You know, if we just talking about Animoca a little bit more and Yacht, I mean, they're a $5 billion company. Animoca is. They turned profitable in 2021. They've had over $15 billion in digital asset and token reserves, and they're raising another $150 million this month. Mic drop.
That article is from last month, but... You know,
oh, it was, yeah.
They raised $150 million apparently. So
pretty dang recent enough. Yeah.
Sure. Not to mention that they invest in the other two companies that we're, you know, teaming up with.
Good point. Yeah. So, I mean, they're investors in a lot of stuff and we chatted about a lot of things. This is one of the games that we've been playing recently is called Rev Racing. And so Rev Racing was the first blockchain racing game. And, you know, they've been out for a handful of years. I forget exactly what Sean said, Matt, how long it's been, but either way.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a few years, I think.
Yeah, and there's a whole ecosystem, coins, rev coins, and all that. The cars are very inexpensive at the moment of this recording. I guess whatever inexpensive is to you, but in the world of NFTs, I would say that this is something you should look at because it's a playable game that you can get into right now, and it's very fun. And I'm just on OpenSea right now looking at the floor and just going for the cheapest ones on the market right now, which these are NFTs, and $3.43. There you go. You buy the car from OpenSea. There's a whole walkthrough here. This thing reads that, you know, it's going to go in your MetaMask wallet or whatever wallet for Ethereum. Going to have some other coins involved there. And essentially just get to driving. I mean, this thing is... It's a fun game, and it's one that we've been playing. It's one that a lot of the folks at Hard Fork invested in even like years ago. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's actually pretty fun. I mean, like once you start going around the track, it's actually pretty fun. And as part of our guild strategy, which we'll probably talk about that a little bit more in a mm-hmm. future episode, because you know we've talked about guilds in the past. We do have our own guild at Hard Fork, but we are changing up the strategy for that guild a little bit. And part of our guild strategy is going to be to give away some NFTs to people. And we'll get into that in a future episode. But Rev Racing cars are one that I think we're planning on giving away some of these cars to people.
Yeah, yeah. So as I'm just kind of checking out. Yeah, Animoca. I mean, just like back to them. Really, at the end of the day, they have been around for a while. I think it's about 8 years old now, the company. Mm-hmm. But and at least, what, about 4 years or so in blockchain. I might be off a year or so. But the fact is that they are... if not the biggest, one of the biggest investors in these blockchain games. So the way that when we're looking into games and seeing which ones we want to put our money into or tell other people about, make content about, I mean, if you just kind of go up the chain from a game or even just looking at them on Twitter and trying to do all your own research, like just know that some of the best investors in the space, i.e. Animoca and all their partners and the other investors that go with them, work with them, they're probably doing all the due diligence. So, or at least some pretty dang good stuff. I know with Animoca, we chatted about with Rich maybe, that there's a lot of games for mobile that are going to be brought over and invested in. They're investing in them and bringing them over into blockchain. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, you'll see that trend happening. We talked a lot about stuff like that with Sean Dudley on the episode from the other week or so too. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well,
so that's Animoca. And Animoca, again, they were like, when we started, we went, man, imagine if one day we can work with Animoca, right? Like they were like the out of reach. That they were like the moonshot. Who knows if we'll be able to work with Animoca one day? That's the goal, right? That's the dream. Very first client we started working with.
It's super cool, and I would say more as like a partnership, because the idea is to, like, the way that we see it, and just so you guys see how we're kind of operating in this space. And we've created a new network very short, very quickly. But, you know, we have like Buffalo or Randy, who's our partner. He's been on the show too. He had some contacts as well. So a lot of contacts. And it's just really cool how when we mash all this together and like the experience we've had, we're able to bring that over here. And then we had another one, Matthew. I don't know if you want to lead this one off.
The next company that we really wanted to collaborate with that we were talking to very, very, very early. I don't even think we had like a company structured yet when we were talking to him the first time, but Blockchain Space, which you probably heard Peter Ng on the podcast fairly recently. He runs Blockchain Space, and guess who invested in Blockchain Space?
Ta-da.
Animoca. See how things are kind of tying together here? But Blockchain Space is basically a company who collects data on guilds and aggregates all this data and demographic information and who's playing what games and where, and, you know, token economies of various games. And, you know, they're just pulling together all of this data so that the industry has all, you know, every bit of information that they could possibly want about gaming and gaming guilds. So as a company that puts out a lot of content and is creating a content machine, one of the things we want to create content around is actually data-backed, you know, stuff, right? We want to be sharing the data with you. If we're going to come to you and say this game is going to be huge and we're investing, do your own research, of course, but if we're going to come to you and say that kind of thing, we're going to want to know a little bit of data around it, right? We're going to want to know some of the data around who's playing the guild, how many, or who's playing the game, how many guild members there are, how many guilds there are, how big the various guilds are playing, how expensive is it to get into these various NFTs to be able to play. Like, that data is so valuable for us to create content, which is why we were so excited to talk and actually partner up and collaborate with Blockchain Space.
That's called doing your own research.
Yeah, like what you were saying when you're describing it, they are tracking, it says 23,000 guilds right now, almost 24,000 play to earn guilds. And that is just over 2 million players to scale in the metaverse. So, like, you go back to what Animoca is doing, and it's all about digital property rights in play to earn and metaverse. This is like what we're looking at is, you know, going to these websites, reading white papers and checking out who the investors are. And then we're seeing, you know, you'll see commonly Animoca is up there along with some other ones. And blockchain space is also in there when it comes to player guilds, or, you know, these play to earn guilds, but mm-hmm. that's where they are kind of in the middle of a lot of the games that are releasing. And the one in those games want gamers, of course, the users of the games. And these guilds, as it's been explained on here, are structured in so many different ways. But the whole idea is that blockchain space is supporting everybody. Yeah, and they're like the tooling, they're the data. You know, now they're providing, and this is something I'll bring up here. They just said they have a new collab with a decentralized cross-chain NFT liquidity platform called Unlocked. If that was so much for your brain to wrap around, because you haven't really understood what all this stuff means, here's where I kind of think it is, or what I think it is, and because there's not much in this tweet, but there is more inside of this article that I read. The idea here, I'll just say, you know, blockchain space just kind of told you what they do, and that was very high level. They do probably way more than I said. Unlocked looks like it's basically, they allow people to use NFTs in art and DeFi and metaverse and real world somehow. Maybe it's like real estate or something, NFTs, gaming, and use that for liquidity. So it looks like you can lock them or even lend your NFTs for whatever reason, and you can then get instant loans and essentially use that cross chain to borrow and lend. And there's a whole kind of thing, but essentially it looks like your NFTs are the collateral and the things that give you more liquidity in the back end of these loans. So when we were thinking about blockchain space, partnering with Unlocked, it said it somewhere around here. Oh, here we go. They believe that providing game or guild gamers and investors the tools and insights to help them thrive in the metaverse. The whole idea is they want to integrate this lending solution where guilds and players actually get this additional liquidity for their play to earn needs. Mm. So think about the implications there. Like, dude, like they can bring in tools, blockchain space, and this is totally just off the cuff thinking. Nothing is confirmed. This is just an article that we found from blockchain space. Is that, you know, I know Peter Ng, when we had him on the podcast, that he was all about giving financial more options for people in Southeast Asia. And that's where a lot of these gaming guilds are formed right now. A lot of the players are at where they live, and a lot of their livelihoods right now are in play to earn. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously a lot of folks are getting affected by the markets right now currently, and always are. But blockchain space also provides what them education. And in this case, it may be even the ability to get funding to enhance their earnings, you know, maybe upgrade or buy some NFTs on the side. Maybe they can, I don't know how this will work, but it just seems like it's going places. Yeah.
So maybe I'm misunderstanding this. So basically, let's say I have an NFT that goes to a game. I don't know. The only game that comes to mind right now for some reason is Pagaxi. Let's just say I have a Pagaxi horse. I can let a guild member go and use that horse and earn on it, but I still own that horse while the guild member is using it, right? And then I could borrow against the value of that horse as well, therefore earning while a scholar is playing with the asset and borrowing money against the value of the asset.
That might be the case. It says Unlocked lets you compound your wealth with a NFT-backed cross-chain instant loan keeping 100% holder perks.
That's how I would interpret that.
Yeah, and here we go. Let's actually, you bring up a good point, Matt, because I think this is up to, I don't know. We're still trying to figure this out. I am. We're meaning me and you mm-hmm. now. Unlocked. So they say Unlocked, unlock the full value of your NFTs. So it says, yeah, essentially what I just read on Twitter. Not sure. Let's see. Unlocked is decentralized. Okay, same thing I said. Art, DeFi, Metaverse. Liquidity is pooled for accessible instant loans. Keep all the perks.
See, that's what I keep reading. Keep all the perks of owning your collateral.
Right.
So
right.
Doesn't that mean if it's an NFT for games, that one of the perks is that I can continue to lend it out so that players can earn off of it while also still borrowing against the value of it?
Sure. I think so. It sounds that way. UNLOCKD.finance. So if you go there, there is actually an airdrop. Well, yeah. Okay. You want to go grab this airdrop? I don't know. Why the heck not? I mean, it's one of those things where this actually looks like an interesting play because it's, you know, it's just all the numbers that we were just saying and the players. So that's what I got, Matt, that blockchain space. And that was kind of just like a newer thing that they're doing. But mm-hmm. I think obviously they are ones to watch in terms of investing and with data and education and now with finance. And they integrate with so many different ways of gaming and crypto that are just going to keep developing.
Well, and also blockchain space, part of their mission is to build a lot of the tooling for the guilds, right? Part of their mission is to go out there and make it easier to have a guild. So if you do want to own NFTs but don't have time to play the games themselves, you can go and find people that will play the games on your behalf, earn for you, you split the rewards with them. Now, that's not always an easy thing to do, right? It's not always super easy to go and to figure out how to split the money and give some to the person who played the game for you and keep your own and all that. Not every game has mechanisms built in for that kind of stuff. And blockchain space is out there building a lot of those kinds of tools as well. Mm-hmm. So that's, they're not just the data collection company. They're not just out there trying to aggregate how many guilds and how many games and how many tokens are out there in all the games and stuff. They're actually out there building tools for gaming companies and guilds to use to actually make it easier to, push the guild concept further into the world.
Mm. Yeah. Dude, I think and that's what needs to happen right now. And what we've chatted with so many people is that, I mean, the guilds, they're one of the most important pieces of this whole space of play to earn because it's communities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the model is of the guild because it's not all about just playing games and lending out assets. Like, it could be giving out assets. It could be doing something like referring, kind of like actions for earnings. It's just like anything else, like giveaway actions, maybe it's somehow based on that. There's macro big ones. There's small, tiny guilds of just like, two people. And then there's ones like Avocado Guild, maybe not two people. Maybe it's more like eight people, I think is what the average is, 7-8. But then like you have macro guilds like Avocado Guild, Brendan, who is on, who I think it's 10,000-11,000 people, something like that.
Yeah. I think they're the biggest, right?
I believe so. Or right. Or maybe it's like number two or something.
They're up there.
YGG's up there as well. So can't forget about them.
Yeah.
That's what we got there. Blockchain space. Love those guys. And very interesting to follow along. Expect more from us. And then the last partner collab folks that we've been just super obsessed with, and I even said that to Brent on their team the other day, how and why I've been so obsessed with fractal.is. We've created content on them, and our colors here are eerily similar. This dang black and pink color just looks good,
but just like it.
So fractal.is is the website. And if you go there, what's really cool is that this is allowing people to onboard into crypto gaming much easier, Web3 gaming. And you can basically play a lot of these games. You can click in on one of these games. There's a lot of these I haven't played. AI, Turnit,
dude, NFT. Every single time I log onto the Fractal website, there's new games that I haven't seen. Like, there's just constantly new games coming out. And what is so damn cool about Fractal is they vet out every game. So it's not like OpenSea Marketplace where I can go and create an NFT. Not that I'm like doing anything shady, but like anybody can just go and set up an NFT whenever they want and start selling it pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Fractal, it's not that way. You can't just go create an account and be like, hey, I'm going to start throwing NFTs and hopefully people buy them, right? No, Fractal, they vet every single game that comes on. They sort of help incubate the games that come on. They work with the games and give them growth ideas and help them with the marketing and they actually meet them face to face. And every single game creator may not be doxed publicly, but they dox themselves to the Fractal team, and the Fractal team goes and vets them, and they would never risk their reputation by bringing in shady people who are making shady games. So what I love so much about Fractal is they sort of pre-vet all the games that get on there, and like, I know that it's probably going to be a pretty safe bet that it's not going to be a super, super shady, crappy game if it's on Fractal.
There's Mini Royale that I just cranked up, and I'm playing it in the browser while we're recording this video.
On the Fractal website.
So Fractal, I mean, their deal is, you have the founders over there. You have Justin Kahn. He's been on the podcast, so you probably heard us chat about it because of that. You have David Wirtz, who was one of the founders of Google Drive, and a slew of other folks. Brent on the team is rock solid. He's epic with the marketing mind and holding tournaments and stuff. We chatted with him the other day. And Fractal, just like back to the onboarding, that's the biggest problem right now in the gaming space. So if there's the biggest thing I'm bullish on with Fractal and what they're going to do for the play to earn, the whole Web3 gaming space, not just for Solana, because Fractal is on the Solana blockchain, for now, maybe, who knows, but at least that's where all this action is. So I think they are going to be that onboarding machine, at least like the model that we're seeing right now. It's nothing is smoother than these, I didn't even have to connect a wallet or pay any money or sign up, no KYC, know your customer, put in all their personal data, basically none of that to play a game. And that is probably the number one barrier right now into this whole space and crypto in general. So it's really cool, because I think this is going to be a big adoption opportunity with more games that are building off of Fractal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games out there where in order to go play the game right now, you need to go buy an NFT, create an account on the game, log into the account, connect your wallet to the game so they can verify that you have the NFT, and then you can finally get in and play, right? There's quite a few games that the onboarding into the game is really, really a pain in the butt, right? And so the model in gaming, in my opinion, and I think most people that understand gaming would agree, the model is get people in there playing the games. Don't like lead with the blockchain element of it. Like, yeah, blockchain's a feature, but like, don't make blockchain your fucking marketing, right? Like, blockchain is the like build it on top of blockchain, but you don't really need to be going out there saying this is a blockchain game. And what Fractal's doing, just like you said, we could get in there, we could play it without owning NFTs, without owning tokens, without having to do anything. I could just get in there and play the games. Then once you're hooked, then you're like, ooh, I want to go deeper into this game. I want to get better at this game. I want to buy that weapon that's an NFT. Yeah. I want to get a character that looks kind of like me, or that I feel represents me, and play them in the game. You know, it's just like the free to play games that had like the kind of pay to win elements where you can, you know, buy other stuff to help improve your position in the game. But, you know, in this sense, you just own them. Like, if you own these assets, maybe the game creator creates other games and there's, you know, cross gameplay with these assets that you own. And there's just more that you can do forward looking with these assets other than, you know, play it with this one game in this one time. Right. And so Fractal is doing it right, where they're just saying, get in here, play the games, go mess around. And then when you want to go deeper, we've got the NFTs over here. And you can, if you really like the game, maybe you want to buy some of the governance token over here and, you know, but get people hooked on the game first. And that's what Fractal's doing.
Dude, and check this out too. As you said, it's all about like the NFTs and this whole, just the UI UX right here, this whole experience. Here's what I just came across. So I'm looking at Meta Ops right now. We've had the founders on the show. And this is something that else that Fractal I'm super bullish on, is that they're hosting tournaments. You know, in the gaming space, it's all about tournaments. It's esports. It's all these teams. It's putting prizes on the line. In their case, in Fractal's case, they're on Twitch and they're streaming on the front page of Twitch. They got on there the other day with the EVE tournament. And that's a huge growth mechanism. And if you think about it, it's crossing over into, you know, the traditional gamers where they're looking and they want to play something new, something fun. And what's really cool is Fractal, not only are they, you know, minting games, which I'm going to show you in a second, they're holding these tournaments where it's showing off the fun of these games. And check this out. This looks like this is an opportunity right now. It might be done by the time this podcast goes out, but that's all good. There's a tournament coming up that they're holding for Meta Ops. And I think there's no cost to this. Usually they're free.
Yeah, you know, I think, but you probably just have to own one of the NFTs if I had to guess.
There you go. Yeah, so for Meta Ops, that is one that you own the NFT in play, so you don't play it right there in the browser. But the cool thing is you go over to EVE on fractal.is and you go down here and they're about to start their public mint of their characters and also their weapons. And why this gets interesting, it goes back to NFTs, right? Like, you own everything. So Fractal is not only holding the tournaments and making it cool to play and easy to play, they're actually doing the minting and the launching of these games. And EVE has been playable for a while. Like, I saw people even last year playing EVE. And I think it's taken from off blockchain gaming, which is smart too, you know, because it's super playable and fun. But if you own a character and buy it from Fractal or if you own a weapon, you're actually going to earn more. You have the opportunity to earn Solana's token if you hold these in your wallet and you're playing the game. So, you know, you earn more if you own, hold both of these NFTs. That's why I was doing some reading on this the other week. And yeah, their mint's coming up. So this is where, like, again, Fractal, super bullish, because you got the mint. It's like the beginning of the life cycle of like actually being invested in a game before a token comes out, before you really know a lot about it. You're just like, I kind of commit, you know, all right, cool. I commit to this thing. You know, I understand the roadmap. I like the fact that they're all, you know, doxed enough, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, they just do a really good job at doing that due diligence again, which I think we all need right now.
And they're on Solana. And like we mentioned kind of at the front of the episode, we're real bullish on Solana. We, you know, I know Solana's had some downtime and there's a lot of skepticism around it. From what I understand, a lot of that kind of stuff has kind of been getting fixed, right? But all of our experiences with Solana have been great. Minting NFTs on Solana has been a breeze. Purchasing on third-party markets has been a breeze. You know, I really, really do enjoy working with Solana. It's super cheap to operate on. The gas fees are pennies. Like, you don't even notice them. They're a non-issue. So it's kind of like saying there's practically no gas fee. And the transactions are really, really fast. Like, compared to Ethereum, they're super, super fast. So I've really, really enjoyed my experience working on Solana. A lot of really, really great games that look exciting to me are being built on Solana. And Fractal has really leaned into Solana as well. So, you know, that's another thing going for Fractal, is that they're on an ecosystem that I really like. Like, if a lot of these games were on the Binance blockchain, I might be like, I don't know. I'm not like, I like using the Solana blockchain a lot more, you know?
Dude. Yeah. I'm just scrolling down the screen. I'm just like, man, there's so much of, there goes Psyker. We had them on the show.
Yep.
This is a new one that looks kind of interesting. I think that minted already, or it's about to, Skate X. That's like a skateboarding game. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are Synergy Land.
Yep.
Yeah. We should have them on the show. Yeah. Yaku's one that looks cool. I think Justin Kahn talked about that one.
What about Metawana?
Metawana, that's up top. Oh, Tiny Colony, we talked to those guys.
Yeah.
They have a cool game, minted a couple. Metawana, I don't know anything about that one, but it's right here.
MW, you were so curious. My initials.
Cultivate your nugs in the highlands and evolve them into battle buds to fight for reward and glory. That's, I don't know anything about this one, but you know, it's, so you can own your own, what is it? Yeah, I don't know anything about the game, but it says nugs that can be planted on your Metawana farm and earn you grams. You can be evolved into battle buds for more advanced gameplay. There you go. A whole marketplace. I mean, this is the thing. And didn't even say that. They have a marketplace too for all this stuff. So, yes. You know, it's a great opportunity after the mint. You could definitely go hop into the marketplace. And yeah, it basically has everything. It's a closed loop system. That's where I think Fractal is a player. Wag me. They're going to make it. We're going to make it.
We're all going to make it.
We're all going to make it.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, yeah. Bringing it back full circle, when you look at all three companies and that we're working with now and really collaborating with and doing some cool stuff with, you've got Animoca Brands, which is the company that's just investing in all of the, you know, the best games coming out, the best graphical games, the AAA stuff, the biggest games in like the metaverse. You could pretty much bet Animoca has some sort of piece in it, and they're a company that we're collaborating with, right? And you look at Blockchain Space, the company that's aggregating all the data for the guilds and the games and the tokens that go into the games and all that kind of stuff, that the big data play, we're working with them. And then you've got Fractal, who's building the marketplace and incubating some of these games and vetting out the best of the best games. And they have this inflow of new games coming through their platform all the time. And working with those three companies, it's just like we're getting the input and the alpha and what's going on in the markets from all directions. And that's what's really, really exciting about what we're building here. And they're all really, really great companies that we're really bullish on. We're really excited about these companies and think they're all going to do really, really great things. So, I mean,
hopefully our enthusiasm shows, because it's genuine and it's crazy with everything going on right now. I'm sure by the time this podcast goes live and these videos, the markets aren't going to look much better. It sucks for so many people. We can't reiterate that enough. It sucks for us in a lot of senses, but at the same time, we're feeling it's very optimistic because we see, and like you just said, with these partners, and this is why we wanted to, why we selected them, we curated them, if you will, and is because we literally were thinking like, who has the experience, the knowledge, the capital, and the vision, the team, all this stuff to pull it off. And because it's the Wild West, and we all knew that even before the downturn, but then you see like how crazy shit can get. We look at these three in Animoca, Blockchain Space, and Fractal. These guys are the players. These guys are rock solid, the pillars of the industry of Web3 gaming and beyond, metaverse. And it's exciting. I don't know where the hell it's going to go, but it's fun that we can be the builders and the communicators of this space and help not only them, but so many folks and like yourself to be the educators and hopefully entertainers. Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes we try to be entertaining.
Yeah.
Usually we're feeling it through pressing buttons.
Oh, there he goes. All right, and we're back. So I don't know. I ain't got anything else. It's really hot in this room, Matt, so I think we're ready to leave the man dungeon.
Yes, we should leave the man
pain
dungeon.
Pain cave right now.
Before we wrap this up, make sure you go to hardfork.gg/whitelist. Get on our email newsletters, and we will hook you up with alpha and airdrops and insights and all sorts of cool stuff once a week. It's a nice little newsletter, and we'll keep you in the loop with all that's going on in the gaming world, and we'll keep that alpha flow going.
Alpha flow, that's what we're all about.
Alpha flowing.
All right, go join us on the Hard Fork Alpha Club whitelist, and be quick because we're hooking folks up. We're hooking everybody up, let's be honest.
Everybody's getting hooked.
So Just plug in your DEETH, plug in your Ethereum wallet address too, because you like airdrops. I mean, you saw the other one, that unlocked thing. There's an airdrop opportunity. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, that's what I got. Matt, I did actually forget one thing that had some alpha. Here's something that I found as I was snooping around thinking about, hey, what's Fractal got going on that sounds interesting? And the Googles found that this happened on May 10th, which was 3 days ago. So there's a $9.3 million investment in this thing called Paper, which is the whole intention is to onboard NFT buyers via email, which I'm not sure exactly where that's at, but I was looking down here. I was like, okay, so who invested in this? This goes in the whole thread of like, all right, follow the money. Right? Uh-huh. So you have Polygon, that's big. I'm not sure some of these other ones, but then you go down, then you go to the founders of Plaid, Twitch, Fractal, Magic Eden, Eventbrite, and a couple others that I'm not familiar with. Huh?
Is it random Eventbrite?
Well, is it?
I mean, I don't know how random.
Is it? Well, here's the thing, Matt. We were just talking about how NFTs are like basically the gateway.
That is.
It's the access pass to communities and events. Hello. So I don't know. I don't know if this is some alpha or if this is even what the deal is, but, and I don't know who's invested. I just saw Fractal. I know, you know, there's some folks from Twitch that are also working at Fractal. Magic Eden is another Solana-based thing. You have an events company over here, Plaid. Processes and links to a lot of financial institutions. Mm-hmm. Just putting the pieces together. Don't know what all these are. I know Polygon's a blockchain.
Layer two.
Yes, layer two. But Paper, if we go here really fast, and this is where they say they are a simpler and faster NFT checkout experience, basically helping people grow their customers with a checkout flow, credit cards and all that stuff to purchase NFTs. Frictionless NFT checkout is the concept. And it looks like, you know, accept credit card, cross-chain crypto, easy wallet creation. Because I know that's a big issue is, you know, you got to figure out with all the security crap and what you do with your keys and yada, yada, yada. Seems like that's no chargeback guaranteed. So it looks like you're saving, you know, developers work. Essentially, this looks like some plumbing stuff right here that the biggest and the best in the industry and a lot of others that we don't know about.
Yeah, it's almost like Stripe-ish, but
yeah,
crypto.
Bingo. So it's called Paper, and they just raised $9.3 million. And if you go to try a demo, I tried a demo. Basically, you can purchase, and there's only like something like little over 700 remaining. It's something called a Paper Early Explorer. So,
and it's right there on OpenSea?
Yeah, I own one of them. And I can... I should have bought more because I think you could have bought more than one. I only bought one. It was a grand total of 69 cents worth of Poly. So I'm saying go get some because why not?
It doesn't seem like it would hurt.
Yeah. So you should go do that. And there we go. Like there's my alpha.
Yeah. That's some good alpha because that does sound like they're trying to be what Stripe is. And, you know, maybe that'll integrate with products like Thrive Card or something.
Bam. In the future.
You know, like who knows?
That's what we got.
And yeah, cool, man. Good shit.
Great shit. Till next time.
Hardfork.gg/whitelist.
You get the alpha. You got the alpha. You're going to get the alpha at hardfork.gg/whitelist.
Whitelist.
Go get the alpha. Go get the alpha. Get the alpha. Get the alpha. Or let it come to you at hardfork.gg/whitelist.